Once again, dear heart dwellers, Jesus is leading us out of the traps of the enemy. And if we really take this lesson to heart, our messy lives are going to turn 180 degrees around. After a very sweet time of worship to Terry McAlmon and Carrie Jobe's songs, the Lord indicated that he wanted to speak with me, and I came and sat down here and said, "Here I am, sweet Lord. Oh, how I want to be close to you, tucked in and hidden away, purified and filled with your love. Thank you for holding my head over your heart and allowing me to see you." Then my mind, as it usually does, drifted off, and I was thinking how nice it would be to get all the names of demons to bind them like a friend of mine does. I said, "No, Lord, only the gifts you want me to have. I don't want anything beyond what you've given me, unless you put that desire there in my heart." Jesus replied, "That's very wise, my dove. Very wise indeed. Others do not know what my servants suffer to carry the gifts that are so coveted. If they did, they wouldn't dare ask for them. But that's not what I wanted to speak with you about tonight. Oh, how I love my body, yet she's continually ripping and tearing at herself. And I mean to put a stop to that for once and for all, to those who will hear, listen, and obey. There is a reason why a lying spirit of calumny has such an amazing influence. Oh, dear children, you have no idea this trap that has been set for you, and exactly how far-reaching it really is. The demons will take an appearance of evil and turn it into a fact in your head. Once it becomes established as a fact, it will color all your thinking. Everyone will be suspect. Because of this guarded state of mind, you will automatically filter these suspicious characteristics in order to protect yourself. Once you've discovered someone with these traits, you will think the worst about them. The very moment you do, the door to the demonic dimension swings wide open. Lying spirits will then come flooding through to draw you deeper into states of suspicion and isolation. The point is not who is involved. The point is getting you to sin. You, in that state, are in survival mode, protecting yourself, operating out of a deep-seated fear. The demons amplify that by suggesting a plethora of threats associated with these people. Two people may be guilty, but in your mind, because of the influence of the filter, there are actually 20 who you judge to be tied in and guilty. Having condemned 18 innocent people, you are now embroiled in a full-scale war with the demons flooding into every door you opened with each soul. Do you see how deceptive and destructive that is? What is worse is that the mind is conditioned to spot the truly guilty ones. And with each day, the attributes that cause suspicion grow, and your criteria become so broad, almost everyone you know is judged by you to be guilty. In a very real sense, you become who you despise because you're so deeply steeped in that mentality. It becomes your focus and colors all your thinking. What's the cure? It is too simple for the intelligent to grasp. Keep your eyes on me. Focus on me. Know that I am protecting you. As you focus on me, you become more and more like me. You learn that I have your back, so to speak. You learn that it doesn't matter who your enemies are. All that matters is that you love them. The fear drops away, because you're looking at me and trusting in me. Fear is the engine that drives this kind of judgment. Once the fear is gone, the need to judge in order to survive is also gone. That is why people who teach focus on me, intimacy in prayer, knowing and hearing my voice, are so targeted for persecution. When you listen to me, I navigate you around the reefs of judgment. And now their door opener will no longer be effective. This is why it is so effective. A fear demon lays the groundwork. Then, coupled with a sense of self-preservation, you set up a screening device looking for certain characteristics in people, whether real, imagined, or deliberately distorted by the enemy. This screen will capture many who might have the outward appearance of the enemy, so that you will accuse them falsely and open the doors for the demons to oppress you with many maladies. Knowing this, if you act in accordance with what I have told you and make me the center of your reality, this will never happen. It won't matter to you whose side they are on. Forgive me, Lord, but what about during the tribulation? Well, that is another story. In that case, you will be seeing everyone outside of your inner circle as suspect until proven otherwise. In that sense, your survival instinct is appropriate. But if you've been taught not to judge, you will hold in abeyance, passing any judgment, and develop a wait-and-see attitude, with caution guiding you. But this is entirely different, Claire. You are not living in those times in this country quite yet. There is a ways to go. What I am talking about is an imbalance in thinking that continually has you on the alert to danger. This mindset, as you well know from your own experience, is very, very tiring and exhausting, and very much opposed to personal holiness and brotherly love. Even if you suspect a person to be working with the enemy, your kindness to them will still be effective. Lord, how does a person extricate themselves from this deadly trap? First, you must repent of the most serious and destructive sin of judgment. As I have told you before, when you judge, that thought goes out and stabs that person in the back. They may become depressed, sick at heart, and feel insecure, not knowing what the issue behind those feelings are. When you judge, you hurt others. You debilitate them, set them up for self-condemnation, and cause an unidentified sense of anxiety. This is serious. That's why I have taught you not to do it. It is so destructive. What's worse, if you're dealing with non-Christians, you are effectively pushing them away from me. Do not think for one moment that people are ignorant of what goes on in your mind about them. They're not. Not only do they perceive that in your expression and tone of voice, the demons whisper in their ears as well. You will not get off scot-free. If nothing else, they will develop an aversion to you, holding you at arm's length. And the most basic need in human relationships, trust, has been destroyed. You cannot go far with a relationship that's been damaged by betrayal. There will always be a guard before the person you betrayed. You may never ever get their trust back. Only I can restore what's been broken. So number one, you must repent of passing judgment. As the scripture says, as you have judged, so shall you be judged. Then you must ask me to help you. Depending on how long you've lived with this state of mind, it will take time for me to help you turn away from this habit. And you know this firsthand, as you and Ezekiel are still fighting this insidious habit. Yes, Lord, I hate it. So you pray for a guard over your lips, your mind, your heart. And when you do open your mouth, you do so mindfully, being sure not to cast a slur on anyone for any reason at all. And from this point onward in your life, you put down every evil imagining about others, rebuking it soundly and refusing to hear or repeat any negativity about anyone. Those suggestions never come from me. They always come from the devils. That's their source. If it's a matter of Christian doctrine, be careful. You do not know everything. Many put forth opinions they've learned in their churches that are not sound scripturally. They put them forth as truth, declaring any difference in interpretation heresy. But if you believe it is clearly in error, speak your peace in love, but do not enter into useless arguments and bantering, ever. Truth has its own anointing. Truth will triumph. You might have to wait for heaven, but it will triumph in the end. You will notice that much talk is gossip and negative. That will give you the inspiration not to engage in conversations that do nothing to edify. As prayer warriors, when you see sin, remember you have done worse, and pray with the compassion you've had with yourself and your own weaknesses. Many, many times I will indeed bring you souls with a sin in their lives that you also have but have not yet discovered. This is a great leveling influence to protect you from pride and judgment. My darling bride, be righteous, even as I am righteous. Remember, I am the only one fit to discern the true motives of men. Even under the appearance of evil, a soul may believe themselves doing good for others, though it looks bad to you. I alone know the whys and wherefores of their behavior, and your best posture is one of being a quiet, virtuous example and blessing those who hurt you, not from your lips, but from your heart, where I dwell. Please, my people, purge this deadly poison from your lives. You will see that as you flush this evil from your system, your life will turn around for the good. Oppression will become less and less, and your light will be as the noonday. And then he quickened these scriptures to me. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, will dwell in my tent. Psalm 15. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with finger-pointing and malicious talk, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become as noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." That's Isaiah 58. Wow, those are some beautiful promises I'm looking at here. The Lord will guide you always, and he'll satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he'll strengthen your frame. Oh boy, I think we all want that. You'll be like a well-watered garden. How beautiful and fresh, and your waters will never fail. Really, really beautiful, beautiful promises here. And all of that revolves around this teaching, what he's taught us tonight. To cast no slur, to point no finger, and to not engage in malicious talk, not to listen to it, and certainly not to repeat it. The Lord bless you, heart dwellers, and thank you so much for your prayers and support. We truly appreciate it. May the Lord give you the strength to follow what he's taught us tonight. And I certainly want that strength as well.